What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest. Today, we are going to interview someone who I got a personally chance to meet him last year at FHL. Insanely credible dude. He's a millennial thought leader who has built wildly profitable audiences and built connections with category kings in the market. By the age of 26, he had started and sold two companies, grown and managed 6 million plus followers on social media, generated over 3 million in revenue for clients and students. He has spoken on stages like FHL. He has been featured in Forbes, The Today Show, Entrepreneur Magazine, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, and GCTV, and whatnot. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm gonna be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're gonna dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple six, seven, and eight figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, let's welcome Josh Forty to our show today.
What's up,
Yeah.
dude?
Good, man. Welcome. Thank you so
Thanks
much,
for
man.
having me on here. That bio is old, man. That was 26. When I was 26, I'm 29 now. Holy cow, we got to get you an updated sheet. That's
All right,
awesome.
we need the updated one. I'll reissue it. That's fine. Thank you so much, man, for
Yeah,
coming on, for giving your time. Your journey is really, first of all, man, inspiring. And I really love I love the purpose and why in your life to inspire others to break free. And you talk about like finding their purpose, know the truth, define their own destiny, so that they can fall in love with the life and make world a better place. So it personally, hit me. So kudos for that, man. First of all, to
I appreciate it, man.
you.
And I'm inspired by your hustle and follow-up, man. We met at Funnel Hacking Live, and dude, your follow-up game is strong. I love it. That's why we're doing this right now. I respect that.
It worked, eh? Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about your journey. So, when exactly were you bitten by this entrepreneurial bug? How old were you?
Oh gosh. Like seven probably. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was selling chocolate chip cookies. No, I was selling lemonade out front of my house, out in California when we used to live out there. And I figured out that I could also sell cookies and I could make more money. So I sold lemonade and then I figured out how to make cookies and then sold cookies. And then in the wintertime, it was hot chocolate, right? So cookies and hot chocolate. So super, super young age, kind of an entrepreneurial bug my whole life. But yeah, that's where I was bitten from it. And then dropped out of college. And I think without going too much into the story first, I think kind of set the tone. I think one of the biggest lies that we've been led to believe in life is that the reality that we know is the way the world works, right? That somehow the way that we think the world works is the only way, right? Rather than simply just a way. And so the entrepreneurial game allowed me to like start experiencing different realities, different ways that the world worked. And that's, I think, why I fell in love with it, because it allowed me to go and be like, oh, this is how this game works, but like, what about this over here or this over here? And so yeah, that's why I love entrepreneurship. I mean, for many reasons, but what more of the story? Does that answer your question? What more of the story do you want to know?
Yeah, no, that was on the point. Thank you so much for doing that. I know your journey of is following you, and it's been roller coaster. So many things you did, whether it comes to the story of that Apple podcast thing, that thing happened, and the incident that happened in your life. So when you were starting this thing, what was the first business model, by the way? Like the true one, the underwear you made, the massive growth and the profit for
Oh,
that.
like the one that actually worked?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a business model. Like I wasn't trying to follow a model, but the first thing that worked was just building a massive audience. Yeah. Because before then, I remember, so like I grew up on a farm, middle of nowhere, got into like I didn't have cell phone or like texting or internet until I was like 18 years old, right? And so like when I finally like moved out, and I was like waiting tables and like working as an intern as a radio thing, trying to figure out like what I'm gonna do. I remember looking at like the Gary V's or the Cardones of the world, right? And being like, well, it's so easy for them to make money, right? Because everybody follows them. They've got these massive people. They put something out people want to buy. And so I don't know what clicked. I mean, I'm sure I'm shortening up the story here a little bit. But once again, believing, going back to this idea of like reality is what we think it is, it's, but it's not, right? And so like I was always told growing up that like, you know, you work really hard. If like, dude, if you made $1 million in your life, that was awesome, right? I grew up broke, right? No money, like not around money. But then you get around some people and like, you know, I met a guy one time, he's like, I made $1 million this year. And I was like, whoa, hold up, right? And then like Russell Brunson comes along and is like, well, I made $3 million in 90 minutes from, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you look at like Elon Musk and like Elon Musk made more in 1 year, 140 some billion than Bill Gates did in his whole career, right? And it's just like, whoa, there's different realities, right? And so when I started looking at like, okay, what did the Cardones do? What did the Garys do? And this is way back in the day, right? They're not who they were. I'm like, I just need people to sell to. And so got in the Instagram game. This is back when, you know, early on of Instagram, right? When you can only have like one account, you had to like log in. There's no such thing as stories or like a, got into that and built up just a massive following in there. I think at peak we had a network of like 100 million. And we grew 7 or 8, probably 7 million or so, of our own for clients and stuff that we would manage. And so that model worked just because, not that I knew anything about business, but because of just the sheer size of people that I could get in front of. And I could just like pitch and pitch. Like I could just test different things. And I never ran out of people to sell to. Right. And so like that, I think that was like the first model where I made any form of like money, like six figures, right? Like where I cracked that code. That was probably the first one. Yeah.
Oh man, that's good. And how did this whole, like, what was that something that led you to becoming friends and doing podcasts and other fun activities that you do with all the Category Kings, people like Russell Brunson, etc.?
Yeah, these are great questions, dude. So kind of, you know, once again, backing up to, you kind of go through and you have ahas or epiphanies. Sometimes they happen in the moment and sometimes they happen when you look back, right? And I know like as I kind of look back with everything, my message to people, very, very simply put, is like, I truly believe that anybody can be free. Right. And they like, that's what I wanted growing up. Right. I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere where my nearest neighbor was a half mile away. I was homeschooled. And don't get me wrong. I don't hate my childhood. I love my parents to death. I have a great relationship with my family. Right. There's no resentment there. Right. But like, we didn't have any money. We were trapped. I was trapped by this lack of finances. And every decision that we made, every single one of them was around the money game, right? And so when I finally started going and like kind of escaping that and like kind of going through and like being like, okay, wait a second, this is how this game works. And then I'm like, well, I can kind of trade up levels. What I realized was like, well, what if I could just get around those most successful people in an industry or like that had what I wanted, right? And what I saw most people doing in life, even in the ClickFunnels world, even in the online space, right? What I saw most people doing was taking the traditional path of what everybody else was doing, which was like basically like work really hard or like try to impress the top dogs with like their results. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of the equivalent of like going back into the employee world for a second. And like, that's kind of the equivalent of like going to college, getting a job, climbing the corporate ladder, doing all the right things. And it's like different game, but that's kind of what everybody else was doing, right? And so I'm like, well, what if there was just like, what if reality worked a different way for some people? Because some people go, you've seen this, right, man? Like you've seen people like they're just like overnight. They're just like, whoa, how'd you do that? Right. And they seem to kind of just like skip a bunch of steps. And so I just kind of took a step back and I was like, well, what's that game? Right. Like, what's that game? And like, that's the game of influence. Right. That's the game of persuasion. Like, that's the game of understanding how to like show yourself and how to have influence over the right people to get in front of them, not in a negative way, right? All of life is a game. All of business is a game of relationships, and all of relationships are influence, right? Yeah. So like, how do I play that game? And so with the Category King, like getting in touch with these big people, I just was like, I cannot compete. Like, think about this for a second. Like, I'm pretty good friends with Brunson, right?
Yeah.
So I go, how do you impress Russell Brunson? Well, what's everybody else trying to do, bro? What are they trying to do to impress Brunson?
maybe impress him through.
Well, yeah, but like with what?
Gifts and all that.
Well, maybe, yeah, some people, yeah. I guess. But like most people are trying to like impress Russell with like, have a good funnel, or they got a good marketing right. company, or someone like results or whatever. I'm like, yo, if you're trying to impress a category king with the thing that they're doing, you are competing mm-hmm. against all of their students.
Right.
Like I'm competing against Tremosi at that point. I'm competing against the Poulins at that point. I'm competing against like the top dogs, and I'm competing in a field of tens of thousands of people that are trying to vie for Russell's attention by impressing him with their marketing game or with mm-hmm. their passion project or whatever they think that, oh, let me present this in such a way. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe there's a different way, right? Maybe I can go and I can like take a completely different approach, and I can create something that maybe Russell would be interested in, or category kings would be interested, or not just, I mean, mm-hmm. this is what I use for Russell, right? But like it works. I mean, it worked for Brad Gibb too. It worked for a lot of these things. And so my approach was my benefit of like the reason I wanted to be around these people is I don't want anything from them. Mm. And I meet so many people that are like, dude, if I got a chance to meet Russell Brunson, right. I would. I'm like, well, that's why you will never meet Russell Brunson, right? Or if I had a chance right. to like go and do whatever, right? Like hang out with this person. I'm like, cool. I hang out with Russell quite a bit. I go to his house. I you know, go to ClickFunnels all the time. I've never asked Russell for anything ever. Mm. I didn't ask him to speak on stage. I didn't ask him to have him on my podcast. I didn't have any of that, right? My intention was proximity to those people. I will learn and gather so much. I'm going to catch this information. Right. Like just the proximity to those people, right, mm-hmm. is so valuable. And so I'm just like, how do I create an environment that allows me to get around that? And that's really been my entire approach. That's where the podcast came from. I didn't try to impress them at that. The game everybody else was playing, I was just like, how do I have influence in a completely different way? And when you're unique, when you can stand out, there's so much freedom in that. So much freedom in that. And there's so much leverage and influence there. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that sounds so... Not a lot of people talk about this thing, what you just shared. That's a cool piece of advice that you did. So you have done this thing with the Dream 100 concept. One second, my lighting is like crazy. Yeah. This. Let me turn on the big one. So you have done this concept of Dream 100, especially with so many other influencers out there too.
Yeah.
What is the most interesting thing you have done with someone that you think like, wow, that was cool. That went viral or something like that.
Oh man. I mean, I was at two things. One of them was with Brunson. We did the Atlas Shrugged interview. Yeah, that was pretty dope. Where we had the podcast. I flew out to ClickFunnels headquarters and we sat down for like 3.5 hours at like 8 o'clock at night. And we like talked about Atlas Shrugged, that book. That was pretty awesome. And I've gotten a lot of really great feedback on that. I know Russell has too. That was one of the most fun. I also think though, like just even just recently with Brad Gibb, Brad's a very good friend of mine now. And like Brad's stupid hard to get a hold of, right? So hard. You know, but he and I become friends and creating a win-win scenario for him. Brad's very smart. He's like the smartest dude ever. And like Brad doesn't really have an environment where he can kind of show that off, right? Because it's like, he's in his lane, he's in his element, he's doing his things. And so we became friends and I was hanging out with him at his house one time. He has this huge like 12,000 square foot house that he just built, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, you need to teach people this. Like you need to show this off. And so like he wasn't having, he's like, dude, I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. And so we actually created like kind of a win-win scenario where we threw an event, like I took care of it all, right? We threw an event at his house for like 15 people for 2 days and like entrepreneurs, whatever. And he just got to like teach for like, 2 solid days of just like kind of like mapping out his whole brain and like the content that came out of that and like the knowledge that came out of that, like, dude, it's better than like $250,000 education at like Harvard. Like I'm dead serious. Like the amount of info that you got there. So I think, you know, from a unique experience perspective, like being able to create unique scenarios with these individuals that they probably wouldn't do elsewhere. Like where else is Russell going to do a 3.5 hour podcast on Atlas Shrugged? Right. It's a win-win for me and it's a win-win for him, right? Like he gets to go and have a creative outlet and I get crazy exposure and, you know, credibility status there of borrowing his, you know, people. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it does, man. That's interesting.
And by the way, like anybody can do this, right? Like this, anyone can do this. This is not it's not like
if they don't make it complicated, I think.
Yeah, it's not like I'm crazy special or anything. Like I grew up on a farm. Like when I was 18 years old, I bought a pickup truck and stood up on the back and I was like, I'm never going to read a book again. And I had like guns and like rifles in the back rack with a camouflage interior. Like I was a hillbilly. Like it's not like I was overwhelmingly smart. Right. I'm not. Yeah. I just, you know what I'm saying? Just like being intentional with it for sure.
Exactly. And you talk about a lot about that power of stories. I remember your presentation on FHL stage. Also, you talk about that master your story. So how do you use that power of mastering stories for people who don't know that? I was there, so I attended that session. That was incredible, first of all. So how do you how do you use the power of mastering the stories to attract more people and get more cash flow or sales in the business? What do you say about it?
So story is the thing that connects people, right?
Right.
And the way I like to think about this, so it's actually funny. Brunson played a big role in this. So one time, Russell, he commented on one of my posts, and he was like, I was trying to raise money for something. I was like, I'm trying to, you know, do this. And he like comments, and he's like, just pitch me the idea and I'll give you the 50 grand. I was trying to raise 50 grand, right? And I'm like, gosh, like what are, this is before we were like friends, right? Right. And so I like message him on Instagram and I'm like, what do you want? Like, what do you like, dude? I'm like, this is my moment, right? Like there's this opportunity to go and like get in front of Russell and like partner, like, oh my gosh, like freak out moment inside, right? I'm like, I'm trying to keep it cool, right? We've all been there, right? And so I messaged him, like, what do you want to see in this pitch? And he just like wrote back and he was like, I don't care about the pitch, dude. Just make it a good story. And when he said that, I was like, why? Like, why does he care so much about the story, right? And when you actually sit down and you look at story, and I've actually updated, you know, I actually think that the more accurate word is message and then story is an underlying of message. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But what story does is think about your life experiences for a second, dude.
Right.
Everything that you've done in your life, if you were to go back and you were to tell me about what you did in your past, what would you be telling me?
Story.
A story about what happened, right?
Right.
And so we go through life through the lens of story, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
And so when I'm going to go connect with somebody, if I'm going to go try to win the influence of somebody big, right? Or if I'm going to go try to bring more leads into my business, like the first thing people want is they want connection. They want story. They want to feel like you understand them, right?
Right.
Like you actually get their struggle or their needs, or like you are the same. You know what I'm saying? And so the reason we tell stories, and the reason that Russell, you know, ultimately wanted that is he's like, I want to know like how this story is going to fit into my story and my, cause he's a marketer, right? It's all stories, right? I want to know how this is going to fit in. I want to know how we can use this and all this. And so we tell stories to connect. We tell stories to paint vision. We tell stories that people can see how what you're doing fits into your life. Cause their life is moving, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you know what the next 30 days or the next 60 days or 90 days of your life roughly looks like. So if I just come along, right? I'll give a perfect example. I got to tell a story, right? But like one of my clients one time, right? I own a successful company. This is back before I knew about that storytelling. And he's like, hey, I heard you do social media stuff. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, what do I need? And I was like, well, you need this and you need this. And, you need this. And that's what he needed, right? I went through and I like told him all the things that he needed. And like, this was it. He's like, yeah, okay. But like, I'm too busy. I'm like, okay. But like, he totally needed this, right?
Yeah.
And so even though I told him all the things that he needed, he like didn't get it.
Right.
And so like 3 months, 4 months goes by, right? And he comes back to me and he's like, hey, I need to talk to you about this social media stuff again. And I'm like, well, tell me what happened. And so then he tells me this story about like what happened there or whatever. And I was like, well, yeah, dude, but like, if you would have just done what I told you 4 months ago, that wouldn't have happened. He's like, what do you mean? And so then I went and I like kind of painted him a vision of the story, like what his life would look like and how he changed these things. And like I go through, I start telling him the story. He's like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Let's do this. Right? And like that client ended up paying me like, I mean, probably well over 100 grand, right? Like over the course of our relationship together. But it was because the first time I just like tried to take these blocks and just shove it into his life and be like, this is what you need, rather than seeking to understand him and then showing him through story how our stories, how our patterns interweave, right? And this is influence, by the way, right? When I build an audience, when I'm building a brand, I'm not focused, by the way, on who's following me. I'm focused on who am I trying to get in front of, right? Because like, let me just ask you something, dude. When you look up to the people that you look up to, like who's someone that you just have massive respect for? They're like not an idol, but like just someone that you're just like, this is, like, I want to be like them, right? Or I love them, I follow them.
I love that. Hermosi these days, but Brunson.
Hermosi. Perfect. Hermosi, Russell, right?
Yeah.
Like when you look at them, like you want to be like them, right? Like you don't want to be them, but you want to be like them.
Yeah.
Like, why do I look up to Russell so much? I'm like, dude, he's religious. I'm very religious. He's got a great family, right? I'm like, I value family, right? He's super rich and successful, right? He's got massive reach. He's got this cool company. I love the culture there. I'm like, I want to be like Russell, right? Or I want to be like Elon Musk. This is why I love Elon, right? Like, I want to be like Elon. right? And so like we look up to these people and we go, we want to become like them, right? We don't want to be them. We still want to be us, but we want to be like them. And these people influence us. Well, the reason that we want to be like them is because we know their story. We know what they've been through. We know what they've built. And so when you're building an audience, when you're building influence, when you're going through these things, I go and I'm like, okay, hold up. Nobody actually cares about me. Right? Like anybody listening right now, like nobody actually cares about you. They only care about who?
Them.
Themselves. That's it. They only care about themselves. But if they look at you and want to become like you, who do they suddenly start to care about now? You.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, right? Yeah. So when I look think about building an audience, I don't think about how do I go and impress these people or like say the things that they want to hear. I go, I want to do stuff that people find inspiring and cool. And I'm like, you know, it'd be super dope. Go and become friends with Russell Brunson. Go and become friends with Elon Musk, Joe Rogan. Going to do like super dope stuff with Brett. Going to like doing things that most people want to do. Why? Because I'm doing them because I think they're cool. But in the process of doing that, people look at that and go, dude, I want to be like Josh. I want to be like you, right? I want to be like, right? You with me?
Yep.
And so like we create a story with our life, and our job as marketers, as influencers, as and I don't use like not like a social media influencer, a lot of followers. I mean, someone with influence, right? Mm-hmm. Is to build a story with our life that is worthy of sharing, right? And then share that story in a way so that when people look at us, they go, I want to become like that person, right?
Right. Right.
You with me?
Yep.
Not because you're so cool. Because remember, you are not cool. I am not cool. Right. Like, right? Compared to anybody else. Make sense?
That definitely makes sense, man. Yeah. Thanks for dropping all those diamond nuggets, not even gold nuggets now. I'm going to shift towards you, your journey now. I saw that recently you also shifted, I think 6-7 months ago, you shifted to real estate thing now from the coaching. So how's that transition going and all that?
Yeah, I got to be careful with how much I post about real estate on social, because I actually don't do real estate. I mean, I am in real estate for sure. But at the end of last year, so I say recently, but it's been several months now, whatever, but relatively recently, like I recommitted my life to like Jesus, not God, Jesus specifically. Like lots of people claim to follow God. They're like, I believe in God. I'm like, cool. Like which God? Because there's lots of those things. Right. And like the God of the Bible, the God I follow is Jesus, right? Jesus is the Son of God, the only God, like the real God. And so when I did that, like there was a major shift that needed to happen in my life. And part of that involved around just shutting down the coaching business that I had at the time. And so I did that. And through the process of that, that's when I went on kind of a journey of like discovering what became next. That's when I discovered the wealth game. And I realized that there was a difference between making money, keeping money. There's a difference between income and wealth. There's a difference in these things. And so I'm still, dude, I love marketing. I love audience building. I love like that's still my primary business. But why I'm getting into real estate, why I'm even learning the wealth stuff is because this is the preservation mechanism. This is the thing that allows you to play bigger, right? Mm. And so for me, like I want to play the game of marketing well. I'm flying down to Costa Rica in like a week and a half to spend, you know, a week with Dan Henry. We're building out like the challenge stuff for audiences and like figuring out all that stuff. But I'm taking that wealth, I'm taking the money that I'm making, and I'm placing it into the wealth game so that I can build my influence. Because I don't think you can have tremendous amounts of influence if you don't figure out wealth, if you don't figure out the money play. And so really, it's just kind of the next dimension over towards building influence. It's securing long-term influence. And I want to use my influence for Christ. I want to use my influence in a positive manner. I think that Christians, and I'm speaking to Christians here, so if you're not a Christian, that's totally fine, right? Like, that's this, but I'm speaking to Christians. Christians, you've been lied to. You've been told that money is bad. You've been told that it's bad to be successful or wealthy or influential. And it's BS. It's a lie, right? And so like, I want to be an example of someone who is committed to Christ, who's committed to this purpose, who's committed to getting this message out there, to say, wait a second, hold up. We need some really wealthy, really influential, really powerful Christians out there that follow Christ, that follow Jesus, and not some fake BS, like prosperity gospel nonsense Christians, like actually doing that. And so for me, the game has always been about like connections and having respect and being influential. That's why I loved audiences. That's why I loved the podcast. I always joke. People are like, you own a business? I'm like, kind of. I'm not really a business owner, right? There's just this like skill that I'm obsessed with, and business is this mechanism that allows me to expand upon it, right?
Right.
But the next block over with that in the wealth side of things is, okay, preserving that to where you're buying your time, right? You're becoming more uncancelable, if you will. You're setting up generations. I mean, I'm about to have a kid, dude. Like, I'm gonna be a dad in a few months. Thank you, right? And so it's not just about like me and my business and brand. It's about family and it's about that. And so the real estate part of it, the wealth part of it is simply a block. It is a piece of the overarching big puzzle to ultimately go out and be, I mean, I want to be wildly influential. I want to be wildly persuasive. I want to change the lives and the narrative of people, not for my own gain though, for the message of Christ and what he has called, I believe, leaders to do in this world. And my message isn't for everyone. If you hate money, if you don't like Christ, if you don't like Christ, you should check him out. He's pretty awesome. But if you hate money and you don't want to be powerful or influential, I'm not for you. But there's a good section of people that are. And so that's where the wealth game comes from.
Oh man, that's so beautiful. The things are started changing now as you came to know about that news, the becoming a dad. I recently became 6 months ago, I became a dad. And like,
dude, congratulations. Is it awesome?
Thanks. It's a different feeling, man. It's like you're feeling like whatever you were doing, first of all, what it felt to me was now it makes sense. You know, why I was hustling, why I was doing all that stuff. And all that stuff changes to like to that now, baby. Then you see it. But how's the feeling for you?
Oh man, it's been awesome, right? I'm super ready for it. I'm excited to have this like rapid response mechanism that I can like watch in real time, and it's just going to be like always there, and I just like have to deal with it, and it's going to be so much fun. So I'm very much looking forward to being a dad. My wife and I have worked really, really hard to create a life and a world and an environment where we get to raise our kid in the way that we want to, right? We have plenty of room in the house. That's why we moved recently, right? Got plenty of room. We're going to be homeschooling or uniquely style schooling, you know, our kid. She's going to be involved. It's a girl, by the way. So she's going to be involved in the business, and she's going to be involved in church and all that. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I definitely believe that being a parent, bringing a child into this world is one of the greatest contributions you can leave to man. Because that's what God created, right? And so all the influence, all the money, all the successful fame, whatever, I mean, that's fun. But if you don't win at home, if you don't win, you know, in parenting, so that's a failure. And so I'm excited for that. I know it's going to change my life a lot. I'm excited about it.
100, man. Congratulations once again. What's the next thing for Josh?
Fly down to Costa Rica. I'm going to hang out with Dan Henry for a week. I paid Dan a bunch of money.
Is it different from the 100K day thing that you talked about?
Yeah, so we're gonna have some fun, and so we're gonna go down there, and we're building out. Basically, I think the last six to twelve months, probably 18 months of my life or so, I have been figuring out, like, I had a skill set that I had mastered up until that point, right? The game of like influence and audience creation or whatever, and I like just paused all that for a second. I was like, hold up, let me go figure out life, right? And what does it mean to be a good husband and father and Christ follower, and like, what do these skills all mean, and how do I line them all up, and and so what's next is to kind of put that all into a product. And we got some cool stuff planned, but we're bringing the podcast back. Can't name a thing different theory, unfortunately, but we're bringing the show back soon. We're going to have some challenges. Dan and I are partnering up on some stuff, which will be fun. We got some big stuff in the works there, but really my goal is to set entrepreneurs and people that have a message free, right? Like free, dude, like not in scarcity, not trapped to the business, to go, hey, how do you build an environment? How do you build a world that allows you to get your message to the marketplace, where you become financially free, where you become free with your message, you're free in your finances and your health and your all of it. You get to create and build that world. And that is when you become powerful. That is when you get to become the person that I believe you've been called to be. And so the reason for what's next is launching the vehicle to allow that to happen. We've been working on it for a long time. And so figuring it out and doing the work. And I've hung out with like Brunson and Brad and Dan, and they're all like, why aren't you launching yet? And I'm like, it's gotta be right. Right. Yeah, like we got to figure this out. It's gotta be right. And so, just getting the message of what I feel like Christ has called me to, out to the world. So that's kind of what's next. So the next month or two, you'll see the podcast come back. We'll see some cool stuff. You're my first podcast back. You're the very first one. So yes, I'm excited to be back.
Good man, excited for that. Is it happening before the FHL or after the FHL? I don't know if you can talk about it.
Well, I'll share. there's going to be like an in-between. So we are going to launch, do a big launch, and that's going to have video and audio and stuff. And that'll probably happen after FHL. But before that, we'll probably release content, maybe audio only, just kind of like some in-between documentation. So for those that are interested, they can kind of like dig into it, but it won't be like an official launch. But still kind of behind the scenes stuff. So at FHL, we'll definitely do something around that. You know, we got some cool stuff planned for that too. But I think the actual big launch will be probably right after FHL.
Awesome, man. What's the last piece of advice you want to share with our listeners? You have already talked so much, man.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, dude, my message is quite simple. It's just like all my life, I grew up trapped. I grew up without money. I grew up without connections. I grew up without, you know, status or and I just felt trapped. I did. I really did. And that's not a brush on my family or my parents. They're awesome. But like, I was trapped and I felt like I couldn't make decisions that were not revolved around money. Everything revolved around the lack of money, the lack of time, feeling, you know, trapped. And I think my message to people is that like, you can be free, like really free. Like actually free, like not like, oh, I have a lot of money free. I got an entrepreneurship game. I see all these people making all this money and they're like not free at all. It's like they've got millions of dollars and they're still just so trapped. Right. And like my life has been optimized around being free. And when you really, I think, taste and experience that for the first time, it's unmatched. And, you know, I hang out with successful people a lot just because I've been intentional about that. That's my version of freedom. And right. And Brad was out here, last little story here, we'll wrap it up. But Brad was out here and he hardly travels, right? But he came out here to my place and we were working on his stuff for like 14 hours one day. And this was just not too long ago. And I asked him, I was like, what would you give? I'm 29. So I was like, what advice would you give your 29-year-old self?
Yeah.
And the first thing he says is have lots of kids. He's got six of them, right? But the second thing he said, he goes, I spend a ridiculous, ridiculous amount of time figuring out what I want. This guy runs three businesses, has six kids, like this. Like very involved in the church. He's like, I spend so much time figuring out what I want, because if I get super, super clear on what I want, I can cut everything else out. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time to go into the freedom paradox, right? Of like, we have to surrender and give up in order to have freedom or whatever. But like, if you know what you want, like really sit down and think about that and then chase after whatever, there's no more exhilarating and freeing feeling than going after that full speed and achieving it and having that level of freedom. And so no matter how trapped you are, and I have been trapped, dude, I have been in debt and I've had no money and I've been just horrible situations. No matter how terrible it is, like you can be free. And so that would be my last piece of advice. Don't give up on that. Get super clear and rock and roll.
That's so beautiful, man. Thank you so much for coming
and
on.
And the only true freedom is found in Jesus. I've got to add that just this, but you can be free. So appreciate your time, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Cool, man. Thank you so much for coming on. People who are watching or listening to us, stay tuned for the next episode. We'll be coming back very soon. Take care. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review. And I will see you in the next episode.